Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your grace, and your mercy, Lord. We thank you that you even choose to hold our very breaths together in your hands and give us life. So we ask, Lord, that as just every breath we take, Lord, that we be reminded of how much we need you. To rely on you just for even breathing and moving. We just thank you, Lord. We just ask that you would speak to our hearts and that we would leave here more in love with you than we got here. And I ask that you would just increase the flame within each of us, Lord, that we would shine bright for you, that the world around you might come to know Jesus. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I can ask if there's been any questions or thoughts up to this point. Okay, that's what I figured. Hi, Ken.
Hi. We're replacements.
Huh?
We're replacements.
I thought the hair looked different. Anyway, good morning. So,
we're replacing the people that just left.
Oh. Second shift here. Great. Alright, so we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians 2, probably the first 12 verses-ish. If we get past verse 4, we'll be alright. And not in a hurry, but so let's just read it. Paul saying, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as men pleasers, but God who tests the heart. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we have behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God's call, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea and Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord and Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved. So as always, to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For you are our glory and joy." I like the reader here better. So, just wanted to share a few things here today on, well, we'll start looking at it. We'll probably get back to it and talk about it some more, but, well, let's just start. Again, Paul, this is 6 months after Paul, probably about 6 months to a year after Paul visited and left Thessalonica. So he can talk to these people and they remember him. So he says, "You know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain." Just to start off, the word "know" here is not an intellectual understanding. So, for example, there's a difference between knowing and believing. Right? I can go to school and go to a class and learn about evolution. I can know every answer to the test that they want me to give, but I don't have to believe one of them. They don't have to affect my life at all. So I can know answers, you can know things about things, but actually knowing them as an experience and then taking it and putting it and believing it in your heart is two different things. And the Lord wants to take the things from our head to our heart all the time, because it's the 18 inches that keep us from enjoying life today. Head knowledge is a moms are around. Bad thing to have a lot of times. They just, your brain messes with you. I don't know if anybody knows that. Mine does. It just plays games with you. The enemy wants to use it. Our flesh wants to use it. Thank the Lord that He gives us His Spirit to give us wisdom. But so the reason why I say that is because He says you know by experience, by us coming, it wasn't in vain. It means we didn't come with no purpose. It wasn't empty. There was a reason behind it. It had meaning. So they experienced it. Why? Because they got saved. So it wasn't in vain. It wasn't for no reason. Paul understood that. But even after we had suffered before you and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. So keep in mind, before Paul even went to Philippi, if you're looking in Acts 16, which is in Acts 16, we're not going to go read all of it. Paul had a vision from someone from Macedonia calling him over. And he gets to Philippi. And you know, you figure God's sending you a vision. He's telling you to go there. You expect it to go nice and smooth. That's what Americans think God's call in your life is. I've called you. I've shown you. Now everything's going to go perfect for you. Actually, maybe most of the church today. But that's not reality. And we'll be looking at all through here. Paul reminds them that he already, in 3 weeks, he said, "By the way, if you walk with me, you're going to get persecuted like me." So they understood what they were entering into. That it was something. But they, so in Acts 15 or 16, Paul ends up and he goes to Philippi and he ends up getting, treated badly, chased out of town, right? And then in 17, he comes to Thessalonica and is there for 3 weeks. And the same people just followed him there. The people who weren't happy or didn't like the message followed him. And then they stirred up more strife there. Where we know from what's at the end of Corinthians that Paul says he's beaten three times, stripes 39, and then three shipwrecks. You know, he went through a lot for the different things he suffered. But you have to remember, he says, but a momentary light affliction. So, Paul's talking to them, knowing we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. Look, I know last week I kind of tried to share, or I think it was last week, that assurance and affliction. Like, many times, even as the word comes out, there's an affliction that happens, like that battle that takes place in your mind, back and forth. Do I want to receive this and ask the Lord to help me walk it out in truth and reality? Or am I going to do my own thing? Or am I going to try to do it on my own? So even when Paul's saying, I know he's talking about physical violence, so I'm not trying to not say that, but what I am trying to say is there's more of a conflict when you go to share the gospel than just somebody beating you up or killing you. And that's the battle between the enemy, the spiritual battle we talked about last week, and winning that battle. Surrendering to God, knowing that He wants to speak to receive for yourself and also to flow through. That's the battle. That's the conflict. It always happens, and I can want to prove it in the next two verses. So we'll look at it. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. And an exhortation is someone that likes to come alongside and kind of help push you along. An encouragement through a, let me help you through the door. And trying to, can, you know, to take you through, and it's a strong encouragement. But then he says, as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak. Here's your conflict. You all understand that what Paul's saying of himself is true of you today too. Right? Have you received the gospel? Have you been entrusted with the gospel? Even so we speak. See, there's the conflict. Not as men pleasers, but as God. But God. And what does it say? But God who tests the heart. The test, every time you hear the beautiful word of God, the gospel, the good news, it comes with the test. That's why I like in Scripture, a lot of times when you see at the beginning and it says, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. You know, there's a point in time that the test is passed. And usually when you read that, and it came to pass in Genesis, a lot of times you see them walking in victory. And that's why I just... So, but the Lord is testing. Look, it's the test is when I hear His word, do I believe it? Do I really want to honor and understand that it's the living God who breathed these words into a man's, however he did it, to put it on paper for you and I to read? It's sweet, and He wants us to receive it, not like ho-hum, but an excitement that your God, your Savior, your Creator is speaking. He wants you to hear. Today, if you hear. I know I go to these verses all the time. And it's whether or not I'll receive. Paul said, I'm not doing it in deceit. I'm not doing it for any other reason. But at the end it says, so that we can see you in His presence when He comes. That Paul cared enough about everyone just to remove all the heavy speech and all this other, and just said, here's my life, I'm living my life before you, and I'm explaining to you what's happening and what's going on, what's going to happen. And it's a test. It's a trial. But through all this, remember back in chapter 1 when Paul said, you became followers of us and of the Lord, and then became examples. You get tons of examples of what they were following. Because here's Paul's life written right out before him. Saying, I believe the Lord gave me this opportunity, and He entrusted me with the ability and the position and the possibility to speak. And I'm not going to do it to please you. I'm doing it to please my Father. And I can only share the things He shares. That's Paul. That's the life Paul. So that's an example. Right? And so now we're going to start getting in here and how he lived before him and different things. So many times we're going to see, even though we're going to get to see some examples of how Paul lived his life before them. And that's just really what we all are. We are examples. Right? We are his epistles. We are his letters. So doesn't, you can look in the mirror and you say, I hope everybody can follow everything about my life today. Yeah. But that's where he wants to get us to, because we trust the Lord and we're following the Lord. See, I can do that when I say the Lord's leading. That's why Paul always says, follow me as I follow Christ. Are you happy that you've been entrusted with the gospel of God? The good news. It should be making you feel good. Settled. Have peace in your life. Enjoy. So then he says, any thoughts about that before I move on? Questions to add? Okay. You can talk like you were downstairs in fellowship. This is just one big fellowship, you know? I know I ask questions, and the Lord put on my heart a long time ago to ask questions, because Jesus asked questions. But you're in a household of friends, and if there's things on your heart you want to share, it's a lot easier with friends than going out on the street with the conflict. And even if just share little things, sometimes that conflict comes up. The Lord wants to, He's speaking to us, and He wants us to have that freedom. And I think that all gifts that God gives, and every time we want to walk and let the Lord work, it's allowing Him. It's an exercise. It's a practice, right? Were you a craftsman the first day on the job, Ken? A skilled craftsman?
It was all there, just like an acorn has the whole
tree in it. But you need to work it out and practice.
I didn't know it then.
Yeah. It was probably in its cleanest form then, right? But to all of us, there's not one person who's ever started out in anything and done it right and done it perfect the first time with no practice, with no opportunity. So when I ask, it's an opportunity to share with the Lord. It's a safe space. We don't have safe words, but we have a safe space. I think that we can all share with one another freely, and I think we all do well, but I think it's good to, if the Lord's moving, or just touching your heart in any little way, don't be afraid to share it. You might be surprised who else needs to hear it. So, for neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. I think we're going to see like 3 or 4 times in here, and even in chapter 1, that Paul's living his life understanding that everything he does is in the sight of God. And so, like, he understands he's right here with us. We're actually right here with us. So he doesn't have to change his mind. He keeps that in focus. So he's not a cloak of covetousness. He's not trying to gain anything from him. He's not trying to mask anything, hide anything, steal anything. He's there to give, not take. And I think it's important. And I think even as you're out sharing in different times, you got to be careful not to try to be slick and sly and try to like sneak something in or things like that. It's just, there's no reason to be cloaked. There's no need to hide. Your intentions. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have been made demands as apostles of Christ. This one, it seems like and when he wrote to Corinth, to Corinthians, because Paul wasn't one of the 11 original 12, it seems like many times he was treated a little different when he was out, because it was the time he said, well, we have the right as apostles to bring our lives and things like that in Acts or Corinthians, I'm sorry. So there's different ways. I don't really understand it. I like the simple fact that he says that we're not seeking glory. I don't really understand the apostle having the right to have demands as a man, as an apostle. That's just me. Does that, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't understand what gives any man, other than the apostle, any rights to put demands. So I struggle with that thought process. I think it's a thought process that's hurt the church for many years, and that is authority. Being able to come in and demand things from people. rather than be there to serve and minister and to lift up the Lord. That's just, so I have a question mark in my Bible. I don't know if you guys have them. Don't quite understand this. So, just putting it out there. So, any thoughts? Any answers?
I think it's kind of like our care for our brothers and sisters, just like a mother and her children, don't run out in the street, you know, in front of her car. You know, I mean, it's that kind of thing. It's not like, Lord, it's over the, our brothers and sisters.
Right.
As the Lord would be him, not, we wouldn't want it to be from us if we dealt with it from the Lord.
Oh, man.
And Christ has every right to meet the man. And Paul, he put that out like, follow me as I follow Christ. That, you know, the demands are from the Lord. Not that, you know, and he is not a exacting God, but he is a holy God. And I don't understand all that. It seems they might be in opposition to each other, but they're not. They're
right.
In the perfect unity and the perfect man, God, Jesus Christ. So I think you can, a man can make no demands of his
right.
Fellow man now, but as he follows Christ, Christ is.
I think as I'm reading this again, like it's almost like he's saying people might be tempted to use their name to bring demands. I think that's kind of... Thank you, Lord. A partial question mark removed. So, I think that's kind of what's saying. Like, you know, some people might try to use a title, which we see that all the time, to get privileges and things like that. So I'm thinking maybe that way. Sorry. So, verse 7 is what Tammy was sharing. It says, we were gentle among you, right? As a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So the description next is kind of the what he says next is actually a description how he was being gentle as the nursing mother. So affectionately longing for you, we were well and pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us. So Paul is linking the gospel for all humanity with a nursing mother's milk, right? Which is what the baby needs to survive and live, to become strong and healthy. So Paul's saying, as a mother, the best thing I can do for you children is give you the gospel. You know, and the gospel, when I say give you the gospel, it means more than just your salvation. The gospel is anything you hear. Everything is, every good and perfect gift comes from above. And every time you've received from the Lord, it is good news. So that's why the gospel should be expanding in your life. It should be getting bigger, not more questions. It should be just expanding the good news that you're receiving from the Lord. And you find, and the greatest news is that we can't rely on ourselves. We've got to trust in Him. So he affectionately longing for you as well to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives, and because you have become dear to us. And we all know that saying that no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Right? And so Paul's saying, you can see my life, that you became dear, that your life meant something, and we became... I'll save it for later. I'm going to share. I actually believe his affection for them might have been too much. And the reason why is because later it says, remember it says, I wanted to come to you, but Satan hindered me. And I'm just going to put this out there. How I look at life is important. In the book of Acts in chapter 16, when they couldn't go, when Paul and them got the vision to come to Macedonia, he said that the Holy Spirit forbid them to share where they were, and then he had the vision to call him over to Macedonia. So it literally said the Holy Spirit hindered or forbade. Here we have Satan hindering. I personally feel like, as I've been praying about, not that it's a big deal, you know, so you have both sides. Is the Holy Spirit stopping you, or is Satan hindering you? I think it's perspective. I really think it's perspective. This is the first letter Paul ever wrote, right? And he had affection for them, and felt like it was Satan getting in the way. But later in life, when the book of Acts is written by Luke, right before this, he realizes the Holy Spirit forbade something. Like, the Holy Spirit didn't need Paul to go meet them. God was taking care of them. That's what this whole letter teaches. Even though he had a heart for them, God didn't need Paul to make that trip back there, because he says, I know that you know about love because you're taught by God. So there's a point in time that, as a nursing mom, sometimes they can be over protective. Why is that weird? What? No? Not on Mother's Day? They do. No. Occasionally they can be other. I'm going to get the other side.
Every day he gets weaned.
Huh?
Every day he gets weaned eventually.
Yep. Yep. My favorite cartoon is Buzzy Buzzard. And when mom weans the buzzard, I can't fly, and she kicks him out. And then, but if you want a 5-minute laugh, put it on YouTube and watch Buzzy Buzzard. Because it's funny, because he don't think he can fly, and he's sent out to bring back food, and all of them are bringing back worms, and he's pulling back dragons. And cows, and all these things the buzzard can't hear. That's just funny, sorry. That's what you have to deal with. So affectionately, we were well pleased to impart to you. And the gospel, as you're sharing your life, just your life, it's a giving. It should feel like it costs. It's not free. It's going to cost. But just like a nursing mom, the things that they give up to care for their children, those things don't matter at that moment, you know, until it gets overwhelming and they said, I'm done, you watch them tonight. So, anyway, so we have the mothers, nursing mothers cherishing their children. Verse 9 says, for you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach the gospel of God. And that goes back to some of the demands that he's talking, that people feel like they have a right. He wanted to work and not take from them. He wanted the gospel to be free. He wanted to be able to share without hindering others. Which I think is a good thing to follow. So you are witnesses, and God also, here he's, again he's saying that he knows that God's paying, the Father's paying attention, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. There are some examples. Devoutly, justly, blamelessly. Lord, do that work in us, that we can live that way. And it's funny that he says that it's to you who believe, because the way people, if it's a non-believer, some of the things, the way people wouldn't seem be able to say the same thing. Sometimes they can see your life and make a difference. They're just not ready for it. But sometimes they're going to say you're weird, peculiar, and all these other things. They're not going to say justless, blamelessly, and devoutly. Well, they might say devoutly. And then he says, as you know how we exhorted, comforted, and charged everyone as a father does his own children. So now we get into the father part of it. So we should add, we're going to save this for Father's Day. Make them feel good. But what we have here is, the cool thing is what you see here is that the Lord's working out characteristics that you normally see in more ladies, because most guys really aren't gentle among you, and most guys aren't, well, definitely not nursing moms. So it's kind of hard to relate. So, but on the other hand, we're going to see that men tend to do things a little differently. Instead of comforting, they're exhorting. It's like, get out. No. Well, that's what the Lord wants us to do, and that's what we all do at some point. You can't, like, mother and coddle and take, you know, do everything for your kid from cradle to grave. So at some point, you're teaching them.
I beg your
pardon. What? What? Haven't gotten there yet. So, all these are so tender and nurturing, but then you also have the nice push and from a father. But what I found is beautiful in this is verse 12, and really, it's what the father, what Paul is encouraging him to. So when I read verse 11, it says, as you know how we exhorted, which is to kind of encourage with a hand on the back, right? As they're walking, not just to push you out in front of the road, but as you're there. And then they're being comforted. So what happens as you're being pushed out? Why would I need comfort?
Because you're going to encounter difficulty.
Right. But then you read charged. He says we charged every one of you. Didn't mean they got a bill, because he just said he works at thin cost. What do you think it means when it says to charge? I exhorted you, I comforted you, and I charged you. Any thoughts? I thought it was kind of a strange term.
Direct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Direct.
You're direct? Okay.
My version said employed.
Okay. Employed or implored?
Employed. For each of you, as a father would his own children.
Okay. The next part.
So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you
okay.
to his own kingdom and glory.
That word charged is really someone coming, it's a father coming along saying, I'm walking through you and telling you these things that are good for you because I've lived it. I've walked it. I'm walking it out. So it's almost like a test of, it's really a testament. Like, I'm telling you to do this for your good because I've done it for myself and it's good. That kind of thing. So it's not only an exhorting, he's saying, you can look at my life and see that it's something I'm doing that I'm trying to add in your life. And that's kind of what the imploring, and that's what he's talking about here. He's not like, go and get out there now, you know. Although it might sound that way all the time and things like that. But it's really coming from the heart of saying, I've walked in this, and it's true, and I want you to have it. So I'm going to exhort you to go. I know you're going to fail, so come and get comforted. And then I'm going to charge you and remind you again of these things. It's a pretty consistency you see with Paul, Peter, and all these guys. I'm not going to be negligent to remind you. I'm going to tell you again. You know, so they want to. But what is he encouraging them to do? What is he exhorting in them? What is he comforting them? What is he charging them? What is the most important thing as a believer you can do? That you would walk worthy of God who calls you. There's no period there. Right? That's a father's heart is to see their children walking with the Lord. A mother's desire would be to see him walking with the Lord. Right? But God's calling you, right? What is he calling you into? His own kingdom and glory. That word glory is Shekinah, means he's calling you into his presence. He's bringing you into the kingdom of God. And he wants to talk to you. And so what Paul is exhorting, what Paul is saying, it's from experience the best thing I can tell you, because because I love you is enter into his presence. Seek the Lord. In time of need, go into his throne of grace that you might receive grace and mercy in time of need. The greatest thing any of us can tell and encourage each of us is, I want to encourage, come, go. And guess what? There's days you won't. But it's not go. Here's the good news. Receive it, that the kingdom's open to you and God's calling you into it to enjoy his, to enjoy fellowship with him. That's beautiful. To me. And it goes along with my favorite verse, so it kind of helps. And that's 1 Corinthians 1:9. It says, God's faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's every person, every human being's calling in their life. And that's what God's calling out. Come. Come to me. I want to talk. I want to have a relationship with you. And Paul has learned that it's the greatest thing to give anyone, the greatest good news for anyone to receive is you've been separated and hostile and enemies of God, and he's standing at the door knocking saying, if you open, he'll come in and dine with you. Right? And for believers, we need to encourage one another because it's easy. The world wants to rip you off and tear you down and getting you look at all the news and getting you look at all the bad stuff and all things happening around us. And the Lord's saying, I'm here. Come to me. I want to speak to you. That's what Paul's encouraging as a father. And I know that every father that's in here or wants to encourage, give the best advice to their kids that they possibly can. I don't know too many of them say, hey, go run out in the street and see what happens. No, it's encouraging in the right way. And the only thing he can say is, he's calling you into his kingdom. Enjoy. The kingdom of God is a different life than the kingdom of this earth. That's why Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so the Lord's trying to show, as you, he's calling you into his presence, as he's speaking to you through his word, he is revealing to you what the kingdom of God looks like so that he can live it through you because you're an ambassador. An imager. A minister of the gospel. Because you've received it. And it's that simple. Because you've received it. And isn't it cool to know that the God of the universe and the Savior of your soul entrusted you with anything? I just think that's awesome that he entrusts us because he trusts himself, because he's faithful to himself. And that's what's neat about it. If your heart is faithless, I remain faithful because I cannot deny myself. Right? So the Lord is doing that work in you. So I'm going to encourage you to answer the call continually. Actually, to be in a place where we can walk even when we're not in a devotion time, that our lives can be open to hear the voice of the Lord so he can speak. Because he is. And he wants to lead us and guide us into all truth. He wants to minister and share and meet you in your time of need, which is every moment. And the people around you as well. So, I can, and then it goes right into and says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. If we'll believe it, so we need to ask him to increase our faith, to reveal himself continually to us. Because it is working. His word works. His word does not return void. It accomplishes the purpose for which it's sent. So, that's it for me. I don't know of anything else anybody wants to add? Subtract? Thoughts? Yep. Well, alrighty then. Tyler's going to be sharing the next 4 weeks. The only other thing I had here is for him calling into his own kingdom. You know, Matthew 6 says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the list before that, all these things will be added to you. Right? The goal is to seek the Lord. The goal is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. When we do that, remember, it's a simple answer when we do the right thing, and it's a multiple choice when it's wrong. You know, it's like there's 50 different things I can do wrong, but I can only do one thing right. And the one thing right that the Lord's showing us and telling us is, enter into my presence. Come and seek me, and I'll be speaking. And so, let's pray then. Father, we do thank you, Lord, that I just thank you, Lord, that you opened my ears to receive that gospel. Thank you. Lord, I just pray that as we leave here today, Lord, that your word would just continue to call out to us and draw us to yourself. Lord, I pray that our lives would be able to be lived in a way that you would get glory and honor. And then as we go out on this Mother's Day, Lord, that have time with family, Lord, that you would just be a light that shines, Lord, that brings you glory. Just thank you for your goodness. Thank you for sending Jesus. And let's pray this, and it's in his name. Amen.